Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another Psalms devotional time. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Monday morning to you. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're well rested and ready for another day and another devotional time together. I've got my Banner of Truth mug this morning. Both of those big white Psalms devotionals back there are both Banner of Truth books. I've got many Banner of Truth books scattered around this room. And they also make a very fine coffee mug. So we are here this morning and we are going to be digging into 1 John chapter 5. Just to give you a little bit of a preview where we're going. This week, the plan is to be in 1 John chapter 5. And then 2 John, 3 John, and Jude are all one chapter each. They're short books. They're good books, but they're short. And so I think we'll spend about a week on each, so three devotionals per book. So next week would be 2 John, following week would be 3 John, the week after that would be Jude. And then we'll start Revelation. So approximately 4 weeks, we will start the book of Revelation. We'll be in there for a while because I want to do a careful study, and there's a lot of things to clear up and to try to turn what is for many a very puzzling and mysterious and disturbing book even into a book that is what it's meant to be, which is incredibly encouraging and helpful to the church as we live our lives in this world. Anyway, we are a few weeks away from Revelation. We've got wonderful material to cover. 1 John chapter 5 is on tap for us this morning. Let's pray and ask the Lord's help. Father in heaven, we are your children by your grace, and we come to you looking for the help we need to understand your word and to have it penetrate our hearts, not just be something we grasp with our minds, but that we treasure in our hearts and that we live in our lives. And so we pray, Father, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, write your word on our hearts and draw us closer to Christ for the time that we spend together this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So, what's framing this section? Whenever you're looking at a section of Scripture, you can see what's framing it, what's sort of at the beginning and what's at the bottom or at the end. And that will let you know what the issue is within that section and what's sort of framing that teaching, that truth within that passage. So if you look here, you'll see verse 1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ. And then verse 5, the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So as it has been throughout 1 John, the issue here is, what does it mean to really be a believer? What does it mean to believe that Jesus is the Christ? What does it mean to believe that Jesus is the Son of God? There are certain doctrinal things, certain truth issues that associate with that. You have to believe certain things about God and about Jesus Christ. And so we had our passage on testing the spirits and being discerning. If you confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, then that spirit is from God. So that's really affirming both the full deity and the full humanity of Christ. And so that becomes a central doctrinal concern. You can't believe in Jesus if you don't know who he is, right? But then there's the outworking of that. There's the fruit. So you could say the root is what we believe in, and the issue of trust, and then the fruit that would show itself is love throughout 1 John. The primary fruit that he's pointing to is love. Now, love is a thing that could always be misunderstood. In that way, I guess the ancient Greek culture was no different from our own culture, in that we can very easily misunderstand what is meant by love. Is it just a warm, fuzzy feeling toward everyone? Is it, you know, let's hold hands around the fire and sing kumbaya? Let's all be accepting of one another, and whatever beliefs or practices or lifestyles or behaviors, we'll look the other way and just say, we just love, right? Well, John wants us to be clear that that's not the case. It's also not the case that you can say that you love your brother and, you know, not have it affect your life, or rather you say that you love God. That's what he's dealing with at the end of chapter 4, where we were last week. It's also not the case that you can profess with your mouth that you love God, whom you've not seen, and you refuse to love your brother, whom you have seen. So what does it look like? What is it to love? And what motivates it? What shapes it? What drives it? Right? That's what we're really dealing with here, continuing to flesh out this idea of loving one another. Well, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. You're a child of God. You're a son or daughter of God because you believe in Jesus Christ. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. So if God, in his love, chose you to be born into his family, that was our sermon yesterday, by the way, in Psalm 87, this one was born in her, that is in Zion. God, the blessing of God is to be born again, to be born of God, to be born into his family, to be born into his holy city, the church, the bride of Christ, Jerusalem on earth, which mirrors Jerusalem in heaven. That's the blessing. And John is saying, if that's true of you, you just will love whoever has been born of God, whoever is your fellow child of God. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to agree on everything. That doesn't always even mean you're necessarily going to get along about all the time, because sometimes there's personality clashes, sometimes there's differences of opinion, but undergirding it is a love of brothers and sisters, and we see each other as brothers and sisters, children of the same Father, believers in the same Savior. Now, what exactly does that love look like? By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. You see, it never begins on the horizontal level with loving one another. It always begins on the vertical. God's love for us, our love for God, God's love for us, our love for God, and that's spilling over into the horizontal, our love for our brothers and sisters. So we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments, and this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So much of 1 John, by the way, it's really helpful to read it in parallel with the Gospel of John, because so much of what John writes or preaches in this sermon letter is drawn from what Jesus had taught him and what he had recorded in his gospel. I'll give you a couple of examples of that from today's passage. We go back to the upper room discourse, which is the upper room teaching on the last night when Jesus was betrayed before they went out to the garden. So in John 13, he washes the disciples' feet. And then after he washes the disciples' feet, he explains to them the application of what he's done. He says, as I've done to you, so you are to do to one another. And he explains further what that looks like. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And then later in the next chapter, but just later that same evening, Jesus says to his disciples, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You see how John is drawing on these teachings of Jesus in his letter. Jesus wants us to love one another. It's going to show the world that we really are his disciples by the love that we have for one another. And ultimately, that love for one another in keeping that commandment flows from our love for Jesus, which of course flows from his love for us. So the order is important, because without the order, it becomes self-righteous and self-defined love. 1 John 4 said, God is love. And it says, we love because he first loved us. So God is love, and we love because he first loved us. And the first person we love because he first loved us is him back. He loves us, we love him back. But then out of that, if you love him, you want to keep his commandments. And high among his commandments is that we love one another within the body of Christ. Right after loving him is to love one another within the body of Christ. Now, that also means that part of loving one another is helping one another to grow in our love for God and our love for his commandments and our keeping of his commandments, because his commandments are not burdensome. So sometimes love looks like rebuking a brother who is in sin and calling him to repentance and to obedience, because that's what's best for him, because we love him. So if we didn't love him, we would just say, I don't care what you do. You can go on living in sin. You can go on, you know, destroying yourself and hurting all those around you. I don't care, right? The opposite of love is apathy, is just a nonchalant, non-caring. And so to say that love is this sort of acceptance of all behaviors and acceptance of all, that's not love. Because love flows from the commandments of God and sees the commandments of God as good. And so even as we are loving God and keeping his commandments, including the commandment to love one another, we're calling one another to love his commandments. And you see, this way of life is so very different from the world. In the world, it's you look out for you and yours, right? You look out for you and yours. And nobody else is going to look out for you and yours, so you better take care of you and yours. And this is not the orientation of a child of God. It is to love God because he's first loved us, and to love one another, even with a sacrificial love, even as we have been loved by Jesus. And that kind of faith, that kind of love, overcomes the world, because the one who's been born of God overcomes the world. Who is the one that overcomes the world? The one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Overcoming the world does not look like choosing one of the camps in the world and hanging out with that camp and making war on the other camps. Overcoming the world looks like trusting in King Jesus as a citizen of a kingdom that transcends all earthly kingdoms. Having a heart loyalty that is to God and to Christ and to the people of God. To God the Father, to Jesus Christ his Son, and to the people of God. And to love and obey out of faith. And that overcomes the world. That lifts us up above the strife, the turmoil, the division, the foolishness that so drives not only our culture, but drives every human culture throughout all of human existence. You want to overcome the world? You want to quit feeling so trapped by the news cycle? Quit feeling so trapped by political tensions and strife? Trust in Jesus. Love God. Love one another. Live for his kingdom and not for anything less. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you've loved us. We didn't deserve it. We weren't even asking for it or looking for it, but you loved us. You chose us in love. You adopted us as your own. You made us yours. Father, Father, we need you. We need you to shape our hearts by your love. We are not capable of loving on our own, but we can love because you first loved us. And we can love with the love that you have given to us. Help us to walk in that love today, especially, Father, toward those brothers and sisters in Christ we have that we don't agree with on everything. We don't see eye to eye on everything. We're not always on the same page. But help us to see them for what they really are, our brothers and sisters in Christ, children of the Most High God, fellow citizens and heirs of the kingdom of God, and ones that we are commanded to love and blessed and privileged to be able to love, because your commandments are not burdensome, but they are blessings. Help us to walk by that faith today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to continue in 1 John 5, Lord willing, on Wednesday morning. I hope you can join us at 8:30 in these same places, wherever you're joining us, YouTube, Facebook, Sermon Audio. We look forward to being back together again on Wednesday morning as we continue to study God's Word. Have a blessed day in the Lord.